Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks very much for joining us, everybody. Jim Masters here, reporting for duty in the host seat with all of you tuned in from around the world. It is noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, Monday, September 26, 2022. Thank you very much for making us a part of your day. We always have fascinating guests that we celebrate, so it's always something extraordinary here on Close Up Radio, including our continuing series with the acclaimed Maureen Santora, education advocate, who has dedicated her life to educating and inspiring others, as she's been doing for many years. She was an education advocate, teacher, and fully immersed in the system since 1967, though retired, still is inspiring, consulting, and coming up with some really terrific techniques, methodologies, plans, and ideas to sort of keep things moving in a forward direction, because so much has changed in our lives in so many different ways. Also, in addition to the extraordinary conversations we've been having in our series, which have been relevant and topical to today's times as well, we've been adapting our episodes together to current events that tie into the education system. We have some really fascinating conversation coming up today, and there's something that is on Maureen's mind that she wants to express and she wants to share with us today, as she's so wonderful at doing on so many different levels. We also want to mention, which we will mention during the course of the show, the incredible, notable contribution to the education field when she and her husband Al established the Christopher Santora Educational Scholarship Fund in honor of their son Christopher. We'll talk about that coming up as well. But without further ado, let's welcome our very special guest and good friend of Close Up Television and Radio, education advocate Maureen Santora, coming to us live and direct from New York City. Maureen, thank you very much for joining us here on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. I'm very glad to be here. And I want to wish all of your Jewish listeners a happy new year, and I hope the new year will bring them lots of joy and love and wonderful experiences in the year to come. So happy new year to everybody who is of the Jewish faith. I'm having a serious discussion today, and something that, you know, has disturbed me for a little while, but I'm asking everybody who is listening today to become proactive and to, you know, spend some time, you know, calling and speaking out against what I'm going to talk about. And we have currently in our United States, in New York, Massachusetts, in Oregon, in California, and I'm certain in other states as well, but I know about those four states, and many cities in addition, surgeries that are being performed on minors. And those are people who are under 18, 14, to reassign their sex. And that really means a sex change. These surgeries are major operations, and they are permanent. They are irreversible. And in the case of Oregon, students are allowed, or children are allowed, to have these surgeries without their parental consent. And this is unbelievably outrageous. I have no words to describe how horrific I think this is. And as a teacher for many years, you know, and teaching, you know, primarily in the elementary school, but also having the opportunity to, you know, work during the summer with older students, they're a mess. you know, a preteen and an early teen are just beginning to find themselves. They're not sure of who they are. They're not certain of who they are. We have TikTok, we have Facebook, we have all these other medias that are kind of directing their energies and convincing them, you know, of where they should be going, but they're not sure. And to have a surgery like this before they are of age and before they have been able to kind of incorporate their self is just immoral. It's outrageous, and it is extremely upsetting. Places like France and Sweden have already banned these surgeries in underage youth because they have, you know, learned that it permanently harms them. There was a 30-year study that was done in Sweden, and they found that those people who had these surgeries, the youth that had these surgeries, were 19% more prone to suicide. That's a large number, and, you know, suicide is another permanent thing that that occurs. We have to stop this. We have to become the responsible adults for those who do not think that this is harming children. It is harming children. It is harming them permanently. And I know that there are several states that are beginning to propose laws. We have to be active. We have to call. We have to call our local politicians, our state politicians, our national politicians, and say, pass a law that prevents anybody from performing these surgeries on anybody that is underage. And in my opinion, it should be 21, but I know the legal law for coming of age is 18. And I just am very, very concerned about where we are going if we don't stop this. We are going to harm countless number of students, countless number of families, and human beings by doing this. This is just outrageous. So that's my beginning, conversation about this.
What are some of the things you think that going forward are the messages that need to get across, and how early should those messages get across to family, to those involved?
Well, I think, you know, I always begin at the very beginning, at the youngest age, telling kids that they're okay. It's all right to be different. It's all right to have, you know, different, you know, ideas. It's all right, you know, to emerge as an individual and not follow the crowd. It's something that needs to be perpetuated from pre-K on. You know, this doesn't start in junior high school. This attitude starts earlier on, and, you know, parents need to be the adults in the room. And as I have said, you know, in previous, you know, segments, little kids dress up and pretend that they are different people. You know, in our country, we have Halloween. We pretend that we are different people, but we're pretending that we are different people. We go back to be, becoming ourselves. And being ourselves should be enough for everybody. Now, certainly in this world, in the scheme of things, in the bell curve, there are individuals that definitely have more. If they're boys, they have more female hormones than they do male. And the same is true of girls. They have more male hormones than they do. But those are not the common group. They are the unusual group. And now we are now making this mainstream to let kids think that, well, if they have any, you know, tendencies that are female and they're male, that they must be, you know, female-oriented. And this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. I think this needs to be stopped, and we need to have conversations not only in the classroom but in the family as well. And the family has to be very proactive. Email. He just likes to be nicely dressed. She is not male-based. She is to describe people. People are individuals, and they have a lot of different attributes and likes and so forth. So that's where it really begins. But when we go forward and we have medical doctors who are now questioning, you know, all these things, and we have adults who think, well, gee, this is going to be, you know, okay for my child because I want to protect my child and he's not going to be looked upon peculiarly. This needs to stop until the child is an adult. Because children change. There's a fluidity in childhood and in middle school and in high school. And where you start off, you don't end up. You end up in a different place. And you have to be allowed to grow and emerge as a person. And that does not occur until you are an adult. And even then, you know, I'm still emerging and I'm old, but I'm still emerging and I'm still changing and I'm still evolving as a person. So to make these restrictions and say, well, this is what you need to do, is just outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And I think the doctors need to get a grip on this. They're making a ton of money on this. And I hope that that's not the reason that they're doing this, but one never knows. You know, we have laws in our country that prohibit drinking until 21. We have laws in our country that prohibit gambling until 21. No one can vote in our country until they're 18. A person does not become legal in our country to make their own decisions under the court until they are 18. If you are convicted of a crime and you are under the age of 18, you are considered a juvenile. So why are we now thinking that this is appropriate for a family and a child to make when they are 15 and 16 or even younger? They have these new puberty blockers in kids that are as young as 8. That's just unbelievable. I can't wrap my head around this except to say that we as the adults in our society need to work very, very hard to eliminate this. And the only way that can happen is by passing laws to prohibit it. And so we need to do the work and we need to call and we need to text and we need to use whatever kind of social media we can to broadcast this, that this is something that is not beneficial to our future generation and our next generation and our coming up generation if we allow this to continue.
So when you look down the line from your perspective, what are some of the issues that it would present going down the road? Like, for example, because you're talking specifically about the younger set, is it something where a decision could be made early on and then there could be regret later in life because there's confusion early on or what have you, or still in the developmental stage? Taking a look at some of the things that could happen down the line as a result of, you know, making that choice to do that?
Well, there's lots of regret. And this study in Sweden that was a 30-year study on individuals who had had sex changes proved that. And it proved that there was a higher percentage of suicides later on when these individuals became adults. They were sorry that they had done this, and because it's permanent, you can't reverse this. And so that study proves, I mean, it wasn't just a study on a year or two, it was a 30-year longevinal study that was done in Sweden to bring up this as a concern. And so certainly there are regrets. And the point of the matter is, and I, you know, had mentioned before, that children emerge as they're growing. And certainly, if you've ever been a parent, you know the kind of emotional mess your junior high school student can be. They're moody sometimes. They're, you know, euphoric other times. They don't know what they want. That changes from week to week, sometimes from day to day. And, it's just a constant upheaval of, you know, emergence into self and who you become and what you become. We now have, you know, all this social media stuff that helps to create a person. But that should not, you know, eliminate the parent's responsibility of saying, listen, if you want to do this, we're in your corner, but you're not doing it now. You're not doing it now. You're not doing it until you are an adult. You're not doing it until you have been able to, you know, have the ups and downs of growing up. You're not grown up. You don't have the ability to make this kind of decision, which is why they don't let people who are 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 vote, because they don't have the emotional capacity to make solid decisions. Now, they make solid decisions on a lot of things, but this is a different decision because it's permanent, and it's not just from 1 week to the next or 1 month to the next. It's a permanent solution to a problem. Now, if when you are an adult, you believe, then that's your choice, and you have the right to do that. I mean, you look at a very famous person, Kristen Jenner, and he was an athlete. He was terrific. He was wonderful. He won the triathlon, and then he decided that he was more comfortable being a female, but he was an adult. He was not a child, and he's very happy with his decision because he was an adult. To do this on a kid that is in their teens, I think is absolutely outrageous, and we need as a society and as a world to make every effort to eliminate this. And for any doctor to think that this is okay for a young student, there's something wrong with the doctor. And I'm just going to say it like that. There's something wrong with the doctor that they would not try to find other kinds of avenues for that child who is obviously, you know, conflicted and obviously, you know, questioning their own identity, to have other kinds of avenues for them to kind of sort out everything. This should be a decision that is made by an adult and an adult only. It should not be made, and parents should definitely not support this until their children are adults. They should not support this. I don't know what else to say. I think they, you know, hormone blockers are a terrible thing as well. And I don't think any child at age 8 or 9 has the capacity to know what they really are yet. I don't think they have the capacity to know. They may change when they're 13. They may change when they're 15. To make a decision to put these, and these are very difficult shots, and they change the person a lot. Now, they're not permanent, but they change the person a lot, and they do a lot of damage. They do a lot of damage. So this should not be allowed. This should not be allowed in our country, and we have to have laws, because that's the only way this is going to stop. It's not going to stop by us saying, listen, this is terrible and this is horrible and we shouldn't do this. We have to have laws that prohibit this. And that's what I'm asking everybody to do, is to take the time and to contact and find out in your own states and your communities what is actually going on. Allowing a student to call themselves a him or a her is the predicate of starting this. Now, when I was teaching and I taught for a long time, you called the student by their name on their birth certificate. You didn't give them a nickname. You didn't call them Sonny when his name was, you know, Samuel. Or, you know, you didn't call them by their nickname. And you told the parents that in school you had to use the birth name, whatever that name was. And if the parents wanted to change the name, you would accommodate them by changing what you call the students. And I had parents who did change names. I did. I had parents who did change names, and that's then when I called the student. But I only called them by their birth name. Whatever they had on their birth certificate was what we were told to use, and we used the full name. If a person was named Christopher, for example, you never called him Chris. You called him Christopher in school. So we can go back to that. That's not hard to do. But we don't have to have they or them or what pronoun do you want to be called. There is no pronoun. This is who you are. This is what, you know, what your parents named you. This is who you're going to be called in school. And what you want to call yourself outside of school is your business. But officially, this is your given name. So that we can do immediately. But to have a conversation on what kind of pronoun we call people, I think that's outrageous. I think that's absolutely outrageous. And we have allowed that. And people introduce themselves and they say, oh, I call myself she or her. Well, that's just unbelievably ridiculous, you know? So, you know, we have our vice president who has said this. Well, her name is Kamala Harris, and you address her as Vice President Harris, or if you are a close friend, you call her Kamala. You don't call her she or her. And I think that's something that we need to stamp out in addition to all of this. This is equity and gender identity in school and at home. This is who you are, and you're emerging. And if you emerge to be somebody other than who you were born with, that's okay. But you have to emerge. You have to emerge.
So from your perspective, what do you think is the reason why this is so prevalent now? Why all of a sudden it's happening, it's talked about, things of that nature? Or has it always been, just it hasn't been discussed or promoted or in the news, from your perspective?
Well, I think, you know, in our society, we emerged as a society having male and female. And then, you know, we had people who were considered, I'm going to use the word gay, but it meant that they, you know, had a different preference sexually. And they were homosexual, and I don't know whether that's the current term or not, but that was not deemed as popular. And certainly many were in the closet, as they said, you know, when they went to jobs like being a firefighter, being in the military, being in the police department, because that was not considered acceptable. Now, I never thought that was right, and I never thought that was something that we should, you know, not abolish. Well, now it is not only been accepted, but now it has become the norm, and it should not be the norm. It should not be the norm. It just should be another way of looking at life. And several of these individuals, you know, we have an individual who has made decisions, and her name is Rachel Levine, and she was a former male, but now she's in government. And because of her activism and because of her, you know, her feeling about gender-affirming, you know, surgery and gender assignment surgery, this has become more popular. Well, this is not acceptable. And as much as I respect Rachel Levine, I think she is going down a very dangerous path, and because she is famous, and there are other people who are famous as well, and they are now taking over the stage, so to speak. But getting back children, the children need to be told that they are okay the way they are, no matter what that is. And I really am a person who believes that you live your life in a free society the way you please, as long as you don't prevent other people from living their life the way they please as well. And to kind of coerce a young student into thinking that this is the only way out for him to be successful is just wrong. It's wrong. And my objection to this is not that you would have this surgery. My objection to this is that you would have this surgery when you were just beginning your life and you were not yet an adult. And I don't think anybody should be pushing this into making this the norm and making this something that we should all accept. It's the age that's the problem. It's the time that's the problem here. And that's something that we can correct through different laws, and we can make it hold off. You know, you don't allow a six-year-old to drive. You make him wait until he's 17 or 18 in some states, it's 16, but you have to be old enough to make decent judgments in order to be able to drive. So the same is true here. You need to be able to be old enough to make decent decisions about your life, which will be permanent and will affect you forever, when you're old enough to make these decisions. So it's the age that's the problem here. It's the time that this is being encouraged that's the problem here. This should not be in any elementary school. There should be no discussion whatsoever in any elementary school about gender identity or any of that. That should not be what an elementary school student should be listening to. Now they hear it on TikTok and they hear it on Facebook and they hear it on other social media scheme, but it should not be in the schools at all. And if parents want to discuss this with their children in their private homes, that's one thing. But to make this public is just wrong.
So really fascinating conversation today on so many different levels, Maureen. And we encourage folks to re-listen to this, you know, this episode if they missed anything or they joined us late. We also want to talk about, in the remaining moments, of course, something else that's near and dear to your heart, which is the Christopher Centaur Educational Scholarship Fund in honor of your son, Christopher. I know you just had a family birthday celebration. Tell us about that and also how people can participate in the fund.
Well, I'll start with the fund because we've gotten several applications in for scholarships. I've reproduced them, and I'm sending them off to the judges this week, and so they'll judge, and, you know, we'll see, you know, who, you know, is among our winners. And in regard to the birthday party, we made Play-Doh and Silly Putty, and my granddaughter is 11, so, you know, she's, you know, still, even though she's thinks she's very sophisticated and she knows everything about the world, she's still a kid, you know. And so they had a lot of fun, and she was with her little friends, and little girls at 11 laugh and giggle and have all sorts of, it was very amusing to watch them because they really had a lot of fun, you know, together. And they were busy, you know, making crafts and doing, my daughter is, you know, has a degree in art. So every birthday party that she has art in it. So the kids, you know, went home with little bags of art things and everything. And it was a joyous day, and the family was together. And that was very, very nice, you know, that we were all together. And she got to celebrate. Her birthday is always, you know, over Labor Day, which makes it hard for her friends, you know, to come. You know, and then right after that, we have 9/11, and so my daughter decided, you know, last week, you know, to have this party, you know, and so, or the week before, to have the party, so, you know, we had a good time. It was a joyous day and a happy day, and, you know, always glad to be with my family.
And then the way to learn more about the scholarship fund, tell us about that.
Well, you know, everybody, you know, we always wear things about Christopher. So somebody asked me, you know, about Christopher, and I, you know, I mentioned it. And, you know, he was very touched to learn about my son and very, you know, honored, you know, to have met us. And, you know, that's always very nice. I always feel very tickled, you know, that somebody would remember. And I think that's how Christopher stays alive, you know, that he's noticed even after all these years, you know. So it was a very, you know, touching, you know, thing. But I always have a little necklace that has his, you know, his face in it. And, you know, it was very nice. It was a very nice experience, you know. So I'm always happy about these kinds of things.
Absolutely. So dedicated and so passionate about everything that you do. Our very special guest, Maureen Centura, noted education advocate. Maureen, thanks for joining us on the show. The half hours go by so incredibly fast, but they're always rich with conversation, and always a pleasure to have you here. Hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you today. Looking forward to continuing discussions with you on Close Up Radio. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim. And remember, those who are silent are part of the problem, and we must be part of the solution, so we must be active.
Thanks for joining us, and you be well, and you take care, and thanks again for another wonderful episode of Close Up Radio Today Together. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
Best to the family, and we'll chat again real soon. Education advocate Maureen Centura, amazing, right? Always fascinating conversations. This is Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Until next time, stay tuned. We'll be back with more on Close Up Radio and another fabulous guest right here just for you. Till then, for all of us, have a great day and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.